This morning's responsive read has come to us in Psalm 44, Psalm number 44. And this psalm can be broken down actually into two main sections. The first section is found in verses 1 to 8, which is very positive, extremely upbeat, and is actually a looking back to Israel's history when they were riding the mountaintop experience, if you will. But then there's a shift beginning in verse 9, and the shift seems to carry itself all the way to the end, to verse 26. And in this particular portion, you find that the nation of Israel is in the valley. So you have a beginning with a peak, you have a beginning of exuberance, a beginning of victory, a beginning of praise and coming before God and thanksgiving for all that he has done on behalf of his people. But then we have the reverse side, when the nation begins to stray from that path that God has laid down. And in verses 9 and following, you have the heavy hand of God upon his people and the triumphing of Israel's enemies over them. They are no longer the victors like at the beginning. They are now the ones who have been subjugated. And then you find in this last section several pleas and several cries for God's divine intervention. Notice how it begins, especially the first three verses. And this is actually a pretty good cross-reference on where we're going to go this morning in Acts chapter 28. Notice, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. So verse 1 looks to the past. And sometimes a nation, if a particular people do not know where they came from, what is their origin? How did they get to where they are today? Where did they come from? Who were the original peoples who came together to either establish a little community, a village, a city, or even a church, for that matter, a church family? And so here the psalmist tells us, we have heard. In essence, he's saying, we have heard and now we are remembering certain things told to us by our fathers. That work thou didst in their days, and notice, in the times of old. And so I always try to encourage, if I can, if the context has been brought to the front, I try to encourage Christians to read up on church history. Now, for some people, history may be boring, a lot of names, dates, facts, maybe one country fighting another country. You get all these gory details. And sometimes history can be dry and boring, but it can be very fascinating if you read it with trying to learn, well, where did we come from? Or where did I come from? Besides a family tree, where did I come from? And what things has God done in the past? And those Christian people that I've looked up to, maybe those who are now long gone, but you've read their works. What did God do in their lives? What did God do in their days? So, beloved, there's nothing wrong at times to take a look back in what God has done. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. Now, verse 3 is going to kind of dovetail here in this morning. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword. So they didn't achieve the victory, nor did they achieve under the time of Joshua. This verse 3 here, to me, looks mainly back to the book of Joshua. Okay? Neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance. And then here's where we're going to go in the next hour or two. Because thou hast a favor unto them. And we're going to bring this out more in Sunday school, and then carried on into our first lesson here this morning after the Sunday school time. I want you to home in on that. Because thou hast a favor unto them, a gracious favor. And there, as we shall see, we're talking about when God chose, according to his own sovereign pleasure, a nation would be born from one man, four wives, and 12 sons. Jacob and his 12 sons would eventually bring forth a nation. That nation would be favored and blessed by God, not because they were special, not because they've earned it, neither because they would be faithful. Because when you pick up in verses 9 to 26, unfortunately, this same covenant nation was extremely unfaithful in carrying out its covenantal obligations. Thou art my king, verse 4, O God, command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. And so again, I think whoever wrote this, I thought it was David, but it's not. In matter of fact, as you read the rest of the psalm, it almost seems that this was written by someone who was experiencing some of the exiles that you read later in the Old Testament, during the Babylonian or during the Persian occupation. But this portion here definitely harkens back to the book of Joshua. And then you find that slow decline in the book of Judges, and that decline continues in Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. And during that time, you have the interjection on God's part of the major and the minor prophets who come, rebuke, admonish, encourage, call to repentance the nation back to their God. And then notice in verse 8, in God we boast all the day long, praise thy name forever, Selah. So then we're told to pause and consider these first 8 verses. And in order to do that, you got to look back. And so again, history has a place. And when it comes to Christians, Christians do a great disservice to themselves when they fail not to look back. Get a good Christian history book. Read up during the different centuries. Read up on some of the heroes that most people don't even know of. They may not be able to even pronounce the names. But these were people who have come before us. They have laid the path upon which we now walk. Well, the question is, several generations from now, whoever looks back at that time, will they be able to look back at you and I? Or will there be a blank in the time in which we lived? Notice verse 9. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. And so this here would almost seem like you're entering into the book of Judges now. And then you're looking into 1 Samuel, where the main adversary was the Philistines in the days of young David, who eventually becomes their second king. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. This again, which almost like you're picking up now with the Babylonian captivity and Persian occupation, things of that nature. So this could have been written by a psalmist much later in Israel's history, as he looks back, way back, to the glorious time of Joshua, and then that unfortunate, steady, but gradual decline, and to now God is now moved to discipline his people. Verse 14, thou makest us the byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. all this has come upon us, but now notice, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. You know what verse 17 is pointing to? Even though you have, by and large, a national decline, just like today, there's always going to be that remnant. There's always going to be that little handful of those who will not capitulate to the decline. They will stay the course. They will remain faithful. They may become the butt end of a nasty joke or a nasty name-calling session. They may even be harassed. They may even be imprisoned. Or they may even be martyred. But you got the faithful remnant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. So verses 17 and 18, in the midst of moral and national decline, not all hope is gone. Okay? It's not completely dark. Yes, there's darkness, but there's individual candles that flicker in that darkness. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or scattered out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. So we have that remnant. You have that, those few grains of salt that, despite the decline, prevent that decline from going over a cliff. Though it's dark, yet there's individual candles that are still blazing for the truth. So here we have, we'll basically call this a look back. A look back based on that verse 1. A looking back and a looking forward. Looking back and looking forward. So may God choose to bless his word. Amen.